Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on FFC. It's Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. Week number 8 of the NFL season starts tonight in Buffalo between the Bills and the Buccaneers, and more to get into when it comes to the biggest news around college football as we get ready for weekend number 9. New wrinkles each and every day, new information, Lisi, it would seem, in the Michigan sign-stealing scandal. We are here together on Football Full Circle. That's the mastermind of the pigskin. It is Joe Lisi, and I am Ben Stevens. Lisi guy, geared up and ready to go on this Thursday on Football Full Circle.
No, can't wait. Great matchup, too, in terms of Buffalo and Tampa Bay. What are you going to get in terms of this battle? Inconsistent offense out of Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. They played down to the level of competition against the Giants and last week against New England. And on the flip side, for college football, paging Connor Stallions, clean up on a aisle 9. I mean, it's really getting bad right now for Michigan. Whether you believe it, the allegations affected the outcome or not, the negativity right now surrounding the program, a lot to handle potentially for Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines.
Yeah, it is very interesting, Joe, because there are so many different wrinkles to this situation, right? There are so many different avenues to dissect that we will dive into that right now. But the latest update was a Washington Post report yesterday afternoon detailing how an outside investigation firm was the group to hand over the information about Michigan's sign-stealing scandal to the NCAA. And it was for the first time, Joe, linking the entirety of the Michigan football program to this sign-stealing scandal, not Connor Stallions acting as a super fan or a lone wolf in this scenario, that there was a wide-ranging spying type of situation and sign-stealing operation happening within the Michigan football program. Budgets that were tied to spending money on getting tickets to opposing stadiums. They had planned to travel to more than 40 games this year and spend upwards of $15,000 on traveling to games to film opposing sidelines to get those signals in advance for potential Michigan opponents. So, Joe, not just one guy, not just Connor Stallions, a low-level staffer that had his Venmos tied in the paper trail, very faulty, to a couple of individuals in his network acting in this spying role to steal signals, but a full-blown spying and sign-stealing operation within the Michigan football program.
Yeah, and again, you know, it's the lengths that they went to potentially, you want to call it scouting, or, you know, get a read on potential, you know, opponents in regards to signs. And, you know, I saw your tweet and what they had in terms of SI. They had a laminated sheet potentially. Yeah. How did that affect the play calling? And the fact that we've seen video of Connor Stallions on the sidelines right next to the OC and the DC, right? So that is the biggest question. Is like, you know, how much was he involved? How much did Harbaugh know? How much did the organization and the university know? And big picture, you know, I understand it's a scouting aspect, but just think about it. You know, a school, a university, a program is there to mentor student athletes. You know, 10% of potentially these players move on to the NFL, respectively. You still have to coach up young men in terms of not just athletics, but in terms of the game of life. And what do we really teach, you know, our kids in terms of this type of situation, especially if it comes from the top with a coach like Jim Harbaugh? And I'm sure, Ben, there's a number of different coaches that maybe do this it's exploited now because we're talking about one of the top five teams in terms of the country, if not the best team right now heading into week number 9. So we'll see how it plays out. I think, you know, their toughest roads are still ahead of them with Penn State and Ohio State, but we'll see how this plays out over the course of the season.
And let's welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience on Sirius XM Channel 159. 159 is the home for Sports Grid Radio here on Sirius XM. That's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. This is Football Full Circle. And Joe, you're right. There are so many different avenues to dissect when it comes to the Michigan sign-stealing scandal. There is the severity of it. There is the implication that it had on the actual outcome of football games. We'll get into that and the numbers that back up the data here in just a bit. There's Michigan fans defending their program, trying to say that until proven otherwise, you can't just have causation. Well, I would say to that, there is an investigation taking place. The NCAA is looking into this because information was brought to them. Cold, hard evidence was brought to them. The Big Ten has announced that formally as well. This is not just something that is happening because Michigan is a good football team or that Michigan is the only team stealing signs. It is a moral gray area, but sign stealing in its essence is not illegal. Sending in-person scouting with a wide operation of a sign-stealing campaign known and coordinated by an entire football program is incredibly illegal and violates the bylaws that the NCAA has set in place. At bare minimum, it breaks the rules, and you are also not allowed to use electronic video technology to film those sidelines. If you see something on film, that is different. It was supplied to you. You are not allowed to go off campus and in person to scout. And sign stealing is different than scouting. Joe, if in the middle of a football game, I see the opposing sideline making the same sign that says this is going to be a run to the right, and I pick up on that, that's one thing. Going to the future opponent that you are going to play and its home stadium to record signals is very, very different. That gray area is what Michigan fans are trying to exploit and find loopholes in right now, not taking any of the onus of what they are doing, being outside the margins of the rules that are set in place and guidelines. Because, Joe, at the end of the day, it is outside of the rules. It is breaking of the legislation that we have in place for a reason. That is bare minimum, and that's where we begin.
Yeah, exactly. And again, you know, we're talking about college kids. We're talking about, you know, a college organization, amateur athletics, right? So if they're going to this length to potentially win a ball game, we're sending the wrong message. Again, you know, it's twofold. It's what happens on the field, and it's what, you know, the coaching staff and the organization trickles down and mentors young men in terms of what it's perceived to be. And, you know, credit Greg Schiano, because that game that they played when they interviewed him at halftime, he sort of picked up on that. He sort of had an idea that that's what was going on, and he, you know, made it publicly known. And I'm sure that that was just the tip of the iceberg to where we are right here, right now. And it's only going to get worse, right? There's going to be more and more information that gets unraveled, peeling back the onion. And the only person that really has to answer for it is Jim Harbaugh, because whether he claims to have known or not known, it's his program, and ultimately, amen, he's responsible.
It is not the defense that people might think it is if Jim Harbaugh had zero too little knowledge about this. In fact, it might speak even further to Jim Harbaugh being negligent, and it wouldn't really matter in terms of any punishment handed down from the NCAA or Big Ten. They could say it's a lack of institutional control, which is what that would be, allowing spying and sign stealing to run rampant in your program with your knowledge or not is still something that will lead to punishment. We'll continue the conversation about Michigan sign stealing up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, live on the Sports Grid Radio Network. So, Joe, as we dive through the many different angles and avenues in the Michigan sign-stealing scandal that has been the conversation in college football over the past week, there are so many different things to touch on. But at bare minimum, Joe, I think we can all agree, regardless of how severe we believe this penalty is, Michigan is doing things outside of the regulations. Michigan is breaking the rules. Sign stealing, again, to make it as simple as possible, sign stealing is not illegal. In-person scouting with the use of electronic devices to record your future opponent's schedules off campus and in-person in their stadiums is very much illegal and very much against the bylaws the NCAA has put into place. And Joe, this is a coordinated effort, as the reports have come out over the past few days. Not just one low-level staffer and Connor Stallions going above his board to go out of his way to record this information for it to be memories on his cell phone. Some Michigan fans might try to tell you that he acted alone, that he sent guys and Venmo'd tickets to individuals to go sit there to acquire this information, but it never made its way back to Jesse Minter or Sherrone Moore, the offensive and defensive coordinator. Jesse Minter is the DC, Moore is the OC, or Jim Harbaugh. So what was it? Just memories from your trip down to Champaign, Illinois? Hogwash. But as you try to poke holes in the defense to make this as rational as possible, Joe, you need to do these things. This was a coordinated effort by the Michigan football program with clear planning, strategy, and budgets, the financial support and backing of the football program once and for all. And Joe, that is going to lead to what we believe some punishment. But I think that's the next part of this conversation. What exactly is that punishment going to look like, and when might it be handed down?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we saw Jim Harbaugh be suspended for 3 games, you know, in the early part.
Self-imposed, by the way.
Just self-imposed, correct, self-imposed. But obviously this is the second situation separate from that, right? And I think the biggest thing too, Ben, and we have to see how it plays out, and people could say, yeah, it's no big deal. Well, you know, he'll get, you know, some sort of punishment, but they'll sweep it under the rug. And that's fine, okay? However, the longer that this transpires during the season, they're going to, the players and everybody else are going to be questioning about it. There's going to be negativity as they go closer to potentially a Big Ten championship and, more importantly, a college football playoff. How does that affect the mindset of the team in terms of continuity and cohesiveness moving forward? I mean, that's ultimately the football aspect. People could say, it matters, it doesn't matter. I get that. But it's negative news that the team has to deal with, whether you believe it's important or not. They're still going to be asked about this. And the closer... And when the intensity and the stakes get higher in the game in Beaver Stadium in Penn State in a couple weeks, and more importantly, when Ohio State comes to their house, these are questions that the team has to address, and more importantly, Harbaugh does. How does that affect the whole continuity of the program? Ultimately, that will make or break Michigan's season right now.
Yeah, and I think, Joe, that's a great point, right? Is there any action that a governing body can take, the NCAA, the Big Ten Conference, in the league office in Rosemont, Illinois, that would do anything to detract from this year's Michigan football team? Not Jim Harbaugh moving forward, not any potential suspensions or punishments that would affect the future of Michigan football. That is a different situation, because we know the NCAA, Joe, moves at the pace of molasses in wintertime. It is slower than a slug on the coldest day in December. It does not move. The gears of justice grind nearly to a halt. We had a 6-year FBI investigation that featured federal wiretaps for Kansas basketball that led to a very small level 3 blemish on Bill Self's violation. That was it, right? So what exactly is going to be handed down here? I will make the point that I made a few times, though, Joe, the integrity of the game has been called into question. And what happens between the white lines always carries more significance and means more to any governing body that is set out to protect its sport and its game than recruiting violations or anything that happens off the field. And Joe, let's talk about effect for a moment, because a lot of people have said, ah, whatever, Michigan still beat Sparty by 49 points. Michigan beat Minnesota to claim the jug by 42 points. Did it really matter, even if it gave them a 7-point advantage? Yes, it does matter. It breaks the football code. On the bare minimum of things, we are supposed to play from a level of equity when you get on the football field. We know in this industry, Joe, through point spreads and such, not everything is a pick'em or made even, and we'll talk about those numbers in just a second. That might be considered circumstantial or causation, but I think it's worth diving into. But Joe, if you have a 5% advantage over your opponent, if you have a 10% advantage over your opponent, you have an advantage. And that's it, right? That's as black and white as it can be. You have the advantage through cheating, and what you have done is outside the regulations and the bylaws. It's cheating. It's an advantage. It helped. How much? Was it worth 4 touchdowns? Was it worth 4 first downs? We are not going to know. But at bare minimum, rules have been broken, and cheating has benefited the Michigan football program.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, you know, when you have an inside edge, you have a key about what the opponent's going to do, and you have a leg up. And, you know, I've heard Deion say that, and I agree, you still have to stop it, but they still have an edge. Think of it this way, too. What if, you know, we're talking about a very robust program, okay, in terms of Michigan. Yeah. The money and the boost of money flows, you know, exponentially throughout the program. They can afford to potentially do that. Maybe a school like Indiana, maybe a school like Rutgers can't, you know, just due to budget. They're not Michigan football in regards to that. So, again, if it can't be a level playing field where you can't send potentially 10 or 12 staffers to go scout a game because of the budget, that's exactly what we're talking about in terms of an edge, too. So, you know, just because they play in the Big Ten doesn't mean the athletic departments are, you know, equally involved in terms of a monetary aspect as well. Yeah. So, you know, again, this goes deeper. It goes deeper in terms of the organization. How many people knew? Did the SI know? Did the athletic department as a whole know? You know, outside of Harbaugh? Because if the athletic department was involved and they were cutting checks or setting up itinerary for Connor Stallions, now you got a bigger thing. Then the university president ultimately is involved, right?
Yeah, absolutely so, right? Where does it really stop? How high up does it go? And Joe, you bring up a great point about advantage, not just on the football surface, but within football programs. One of the reasons these bylaws against in-person scouting were put into place nearly 3 decades ago now by the NCAA is because some of the bigger programs had extended staffs and could send people out on the road to scout. The smaller schools didn't have the funding, didn't have the backing, they didn't like it. The NCAA goes, well, we can't give one the edge over the other. We outlaw this. Those are the rules that were put in place in the mid-90s that Michigan is now skirting. And Joe, that's from a defensive perspective, what Coach Sanders has said, right? Well, if I know you're going to run a jet sweep, I still need to make sure I get through the block and stop it. But you still know the tendency, and even that is an advantage. What about the offensive side? If you know the defensive signals and you know, hey, you guys are lining up in cover 3. If you line up in cover 3, we're going to have this play. You have no idea. Part of the offensive advantage, Joe, is the defense calls their play and the offense tries to match it, but the defense doesn't know what the offense is necessarily going to do. There are tendencies, but the reason play action is as successful, the reason RPO has taken over the offensive schemes in college and now the National Football League, is because of that idea of disguise. But if you know signals and you know tendencies outside of just studying game film, again, that is an advantage. We'll talk about actual numbers as it pertains to the Michigan Wolverines. Non-conference versus conference numbers up next here on Football Full Circle. Doing what we do best, knowing point spreads, knowing covering numbers, ATS marks. We'll break it down on the other side of the break here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. And Joe, a lot of people might say this is circumstantial evidence. I don't believe it is. There's an investigation into Michigan sign stealing right now. If it was all circumstantial, we'd just be doing this for, you know what, in giggles. But, Lisi guy, what do we do to really determine and evaluate how good a team is? We've done it all throughout this year. What is the odds? What are point spreads? It sets expectation for what a team is supposed to do in any given game. I don't need to tell you that Michigan is expected to beat Indiana. I don't need to tell you the Buffalo Bills are expected to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We can all see that with our eyes. But the Bills are an 8.5-point favorite tonight, Joe. Michigan was a 29.5-point favorite against Indiana this year. The Wolverines are supposed to win by at least 4 touchdowns. It doesn't matter they were 1-0. What were they against the number? So, Joe, from that idea, right, expectation as a margin and key ingredient for team evaluation, which is what we do here, here are the numbers for Michigan. Since 2021, the 2021 football season, when it started, in non-conference games ATS with average margin of victory versus Big Ten conference games ATS with average margin of victory. Joe, since 2021, Michigan's non-conference against the spread record in total is 5-6 ATS. Michigan's conference ATS record against Big Ten foes in that same time since 2021 is 18-5-2 against the number. And they are covering against the spread by an average margin of 8 points per game. It is the best, Joe, by a pretty good margin, Power 5 conference cover percentage in college football. The second best is Oregon State at less than 70%, 15-7 ATS. What do we know about the Michigan sign-stealing scandal? That last year alone, Connor Stallions, or his people, right, the individuals that he hired or that they sent money to, recruiting staff members for the Michigan football program, his network of spies, if you will, went to 12 of the other 13 Big Ten schools and some potential college football playoff contenders that Michigan maybe was going to play, not TCU, and maybe that explains a 6-point loss against the Horned Frogs. But Joe, that means that Michigan is 18-5-2 against the spread in conference games since the start of 2021. That's a 78.3% cover percentage, the best in the Power 5 by far. Now, I say that, Joe, because if you know the tendencies of the teams that you are playing, if you understand that you're traveling to Big Ten stadiums to scout in person because you know your conference schedules far in advance, that would seem to me, Joe, just to be an interesting coincidence at this time.
Yeah, again, you know, against Big Ten opponents, they stepped it up and kicked it up a notch, right? What does that mean? Again, I think the investigation needs to play out. And, you know, there was some sort of advantage that was gained with the scouting department. To your point, from a defensive perspective, if I know run is coming, you know, I have an advantage in terms of the front seven. I know I could pin my ears back, you know, and just shoot the gap and maybe disrupt the rushing attack in terms of a defensive tackle. Same thing with a corner and a safety. You know, pass is coming. You buckle up a little bit more. You know, the numbers don't lie, right? So the NCAA and everybody involved need to investigate this to the utmost, because you can't be 5-6 pre-investigation with Connor Stallions, and then all of a sudden when Connor Stallions, you know, gets caught or he started it, they're 18-5-1 against the number. Something doesn't jive or add up there. So I'm with you. You know, how does it play out, though, over the course? Do they just put it on the back burner to see how Michigan evolves throughout the college football playoff, or do they actually kick it up prior to the Penn State game? That's what will matter right here and right now, though.
Yeah, I completely agree, right? Again, it is rather circumstantial evidence. It is interesting data. Given the sign of the times, pun intended, saying sign, it is certainly part of this investigation, right? There is certainly some kind of causation and correlation. But some people would say that doesn't prove anything. I get that. It doesn't prove anything. It might highlight certain things because we do know the facts of the case that last year in 2022, Connor Stallions and the people working for him and the Michigan football program traveled to 12 of the other 13 Big Ten schools. And we know the coordinated effort that was going underway this year, Joe, plans to go to 40 different stadiums, 40 different games at bare minimum, with about $15,000 worth of budget tied to it. Just, again, something to keep in mind. All right, Joe, let's talk a little college football before we get ready for week number 8 of this NFL season. Michigan, by the way, on a bye this week after hammering Michigan State 49-0 a week ago. But a big game in the Big Ten, Joe, after Ohio State keeps its season perfect against Penn State. The Buckeyes, number 3 in the country, now travel to Madison to take on Wisconsin. No, it's not the same Wisconsin team that was winning the Big Ten West easily each and every year, but it's still a difficult place to play when they start jumping around in Camp Randall under the lights. Joe, Ohio State, a 14.5 point favorite, the overall under 45 and a hook. What do you think of this football game?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little tighter than people think. You know, the biggest thing for me is Wisconsin's secondary is only giving up 196 passing yards per game. They're holding opposing quarterbacks to right in the area, 56 completion percentage. They still have Braylon Allen. Last week, a dynamic performance over yards, average 5 yards per carry, and they're still pounding the rock for a buck 80. And, you know, Penn State could not run the football effectively because they were 3 and out with Drew Aller on almost each and every drive and fell behind. I will say, even with Tanner Mordecai out of that offense, the backup Locke did throw for 2 touchdowns and 240 against the Illini. Now, granted, it was Illinois. I get that. But he threw for 2 touchdowns in one game. Mordecai had only thrown for 3 prior to him getting hurt. So this might be an upgrade. I'm taking the points with Wisconsin. I think it's closer than people think.
It's going to be a game where Wisconsin, to me, Joe, this is like one of the easier correlated spots, right? We talk about it often. If a favorite is going to cover, they generally, and they're favored by double digits, 2 touchdowns, whatever it might be, you need to score points. You need to have a very high margin to just get over that. It's just simple arithmetic, right? If you need to cover 14.5 points, you need to win by at least 15. You're going to need to score a lot of points if the other side even gets a field goal. For Wisconsin, it's if you're going to keep it within margin, you want to keep the opportunities of scoring and putting up points on the other side to the bare minimum as well. Now, Ohio State's defense, Joe, in my estimation, is good enough to win this football game and cover for the Bucks. They could score 21 points, hold the Badgers to 6, bada bing, bada boom, you win by 15, and you cover it as a 14.5 point favorite. That is how good I think this Ohio State defense truly is this year. But if Wisconsin is going to stay in this game, you want to give me 10 points, you got to keep Ohio State under 24 as well. A defensive effort out of the Badgers is going to be needed, and that will focus on keeping the game tight, shortening the window, focusing on Braylon Allen as their lead back. Joe, it's rivalry weekend once again in the SEC, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party in Jacksonville, Florida, this upcoming Saturday. Georgia off the bye, some time to adjust without Brock Bowers. They get ready to take on Florida. It's also a 14.5 point spread in favor of the Dogs. The over-under 47.5. Joe, Georgia 1-6 against the spread, despite being a perfect unbeaten 7-0. Will Georgia cover its second football game of the year?
I don't know if they will. You know, Napier is a very good underdog coach. Again, I think there's no doubt that Georgia wins, but without Brock Bowers, I think it could be a potentially close ball game. You know, two touchdowns in any type of rivalry game is a lot. And the one thing I think you look at a positive is that Georgia's running the football. They rushed it for the first time over 200 yards against Vanderbilt. That's a positive. That's why they'll win, but I don't know if they cover due to Graham Mertz, due to Billy Napier being a very good underdog coach in a rivalry game.
Florida is good on the ground, but we saw them get exposed a few times this year by Kentucky, but they limited what Tennessee was trying to do on the ground. You would think there's a re-emphasized focus for the Georgia Bulldogs on establishing that run with Dejon Edwards and a healthy now Kendall Milton, certainly in the absence of Brock Bowers. We will see how that plays out. But under Billy Napier, Joe, in the last two seasons, the Florida Gators, as an underdog, 6-3 against the spread. They have been covering at a pretty good clip. Top 15 showdown, Joe, in Rice-Eccles on Saturday afternoon. It's Utah, ranked 13th in the country, and 8th ranked Oregon. The Ducks, a 6.5-point road favorite in Salt Lake. Joe, it's not often you see teams near a touchdown favorite on the road in Rice-Eccles. Does Oregon have what it takes to cover and win by margin?
They do, but they won't. I think it's Utah. And whether Utah pulls it out or not, I still think they're well within the 6.5-point number. I think this game does go down to the wire. We're talking about Utah, 18-game home winning streak, back-to-back games, 247 on the ground and over 300 a couple weeks ago. That'll keep them in it. And Bryson Bourne's playing very well right now. Give me the points with Utah.
Yeah, you know, Joe, any other situation, if your starting quarterback wasn't there against how good Oregon's defense is and a focus on the ground, I would probably say, hey, listen, I know what the trends are. I think Oregon can buck that. Right now, I'm not so sure. That's what Utah wants to do. We'll talk a little more college football into the NFL up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on FFC. It is Football Full Circle. Joe, some news for a big game in the Big 12 as Oklahoma looks to stay unbeaten in front of a sellout crowd in Lawrence, Kansas. The Jayhawks had some hope, Joe. They might have Jalen Daniels, their dynamic quarterback in the preseason, Big 12 Player of the Year, back under center on Saturday. However, it is going to be Jason Bean, who has the experience and has certainly filled in as Jalen Daniels. Daniels has been a little bit banged up each of the past two seasons, but now the number, Joe, 9.5 in favor of sixth-ranked Oklahoma, tested last week, of course, against UCF, fresh out the bye. Joe, what do you think OU does on the road in Lawrence on Saturday?
Yeah, I think there's the potential. Look at, let's not forget Bedlam on deck, the last Bedlam game in terms of the history potentially of the series there. You can never say look at, but, you know, I think there's always that possibility with both teams, Oak State and Oklahoma. I will say that Jason Bean played in this ball game last year. They didn't cover the number, but 2 years ago, that was the game with Caleb and Kennedy Brooks where he had to rip the ball out and save their season. I like Bean and KU here. This is their Super Bowl. I think there's the potential to step up, keep it close. It's under now 10, which is a little odd if you think about it. With no Daniels in the lineup, you'd think you might see a 10.5. Now you're seeing 9.5, which could go in the other way, which I can't figure out. But I like Bean. I like KU. I think they have the speed to keep it close. And we saw a mobile quarterback, John Rhys Plumlee, attack them, cover that 17.5 point number. Kansas can run it, and you know what? Keep an eye out, OU, because I think they're going to be on upset alert.
I don't know if Kansas can pull off the upset, but you would think that Daniel Hyshaw and Devin Neal are going to be able to make some inroads against an Oklahoma defense that was tested on the ground a little bit last week and certainly tested on the ground by Jonathan Brooks in the Red River rivalry now 3 Saturdays ago. I still think Oklahoma does cover. I think you're getting a slight discount here because the Sooners were tested last week by UCF. Quickly here, Joe, one final game to discuss when it comes to college football. It's not the most illustrious week nine slate. We talked about Georgia, Florida. We talked about the best game of the weekend, the top 15 tilt, Oregon and Utah. Here's another one of those ranked versus ranked matchups. Duke and Louisville. 20th ranked Duke, 18th ranked Louisville. The Cardinals at home, Joe, a 4.5-point favorite. The over-under is at 46.5. Here's why this game is significant. Both teams only one conference loss so far this year. Yes, Duke has lost two games, Notre Dame and Florida State, and they were in both of those games really until the final drive against the Irish, and of course in the fourth quarter before Florida State came back and covered once Riley Leonard could not go any longer. Joe, both of these teams one conference loss. We're trying to find that second team in the ACC that will contend for a conference title because Florida State is the only unbeaten. North Carolina loses somehow, some way last week against Virginia. Duke has the conference loss against FSU, and Louisville was upset by Pitt a couple of weekends ago. Joe, what do you make of this game if Riley Leonard is not 100% healthy?
I still like Duke. How about that? A shocker, right? I was against them last week with Florida State. Now I'm taking the points. I like Waters. I like the rushing attack. Their front seven did a pretty good job for the most part in the first half against the Seminoles, but they're only allowing 136 rushing yards per game. They can get pressure on opposing quarterbacks, and that secondary has played pretty well, especially in man-to-man coverage. The fact that it is Jack Plummer and it's Mike Elko on the other side in terms of coaching up the defense. I like Brilliant if he starts. I mean, I still think Duke is a little more physical. I like the rushing attack, and give me the Blue Devils in the mild upset on the road, Ben.
Yeah, I would think, Joe, that this game really comes down to the health of Riley Leonard. He is so integral to what Duke does offensively. I understand it's going to be a ground-heavy attack. I understand that Duke is brilliant defensively under Mike Elko as well. But what Riley Leonard adds, he is this Blue Devils offense. If he's not playing, Joe, I'm avoiding the game. I'll see how it plays out. I think it could be decided by a field goal. I understand taking the points with the Duke Blue Devils. It's just not a game where I feel strongly on one side. If Riley Leonard was playing Duke outright, if Riley Leonard is not 100% healthy and maybe not able to give it a go for the entirety of this football matchup, then I don't really know how I feel about it. All right, Joe, now to week eight in the National Football League. It starts tonight in Western New York. The Buffalo Bills at 8.5-point favorite at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I keep saying 8.5. The line is now actually on its way up to 9.5, approaching double digits in favor of Buffalo. The over-under 43.5. Joe, do you have confidence in laying nearly 10 with the Buffalo Bills?
No. I like the over, though. I just, you know, here's my methodology on that. You know, they've started slow in back-to-back weeks against the Giants in New England. 3 points at the half. If I would have told you that, you would have said you're crazy that New England held them to three. But they started and played down to the level of competition. I think they get James Cook involved, Gabe Davis. And if you're Josh Allen, you want to start fast. You do not want to allow Tampa Bay to be in this ballgame in the second half. Try to start a little tempo. I'm going over. I don't like a particular side. I mean, I would lean to the points with Tampa Bay, but I'm going over the 42.5, 43. I think both offenses will potentially move the football and put up points in this ballgame, Ben.
Yeah, Joe, it's interesting, right? Normally you'd think short week Thursday night football game. Can we trust the offenses to score enough points here in the short week? I actually think we can. Because again, think about how the game flow would have to play out if Buffalo is even going to approach, Joe, winning this game by a touchdown. We're talking around 28 points at bare minimum probably for the Buffalo Bills to cover this type of number. Their team total 26.5. That is the expectation from the odds. If Tampa Bay can give you two touchdowns and Buffalo gives you four at bare minimum, you're getting pretty close to that 43.5. I would agree, Joe. I actually like the over a little bit more, but my favorite total of the game is actually Tampa Bay under 16.5 total points. Why do I say that? The Buccaneers are a 3-3 football team. In their three losses this year, Joe, they haven't scored two touchdowns, 13 points or less. 11 against Philadelphia, 6 against Detroit, 13 16 last week against the Atlanta Falcons. Even in their wins, Joe, 20, 25, and 29, it hasn't necessarily been the most illustrious scoring offense for Tampa Bay. When I look at this game as well, Joe, Tampa Bay an underdog this year four previous times. Tonight will be game number 5. 2-2 both straight up and against the spread. What does that tell me from that evaluation tool? That when Tampa performs well as an underdog, they win outright. They don't just cover, they win outright. When they're not performing well, though, Joe, and they're not covering numbers, it's not like they're a 2.5-point dog that lost by 3 or a 5.5-point dog that lost by a touchdown. They're getting blown out. The two games they have not covered against Detroit and Philadelphia as an underdog, they've lost by at least 2 touchdowns, which gives me some thought, Joe, that maybe Buffalo does actually cover by margin tonight. I don't like laying 9.5 with a team on a short week, and certainly, Joe, Buffalo hasn't really inspired any sort of belief that they can cover and win by even a touchdown, let alone double digits. What I would do is use the no-sweat same-game parlay on FanDuel, maybe a profit boost that you have out there, bring it down to an alternate spread, put it in a same-game parlay, Buffalo 6.5, 7.5, whatever it might be, find some value that way. But one of my favorite bets, Buccaneers team total under, Joe, 16.5 points.
Yeah, I mean, in order to get over that, I believe they're going to have to run the football, and that is the key to covering this number and potentially being in this ball game, you know, to win it against the Buffalo Bills. They're going to have to run the football with Rashad White and Keyshawn Vaughn. This is an offense that's averaging around 60 rushing yards per game, completely one-dimensional. That leads to long third downs. That puts pressure on the offensive line, and more importantly, their quarterback, Baker Mayfield. They're going to need Rashad White to have a big day. I actually altered him to 60-plus tonight, Ben, because I think he can potentially break out in this ballgame. You know, Buffalo gave up over 90 yards to Saquon Barkley a couple weeks ago, and that was a terrible offensive line for the New York Giants, right? So you got to believe that Tampa Bay, if they come in with the mentality of we're going to run it first, then work off a play action, they can have success to Evans and Godwin over the top. And you know what? I think they could get over that 16.5. If I had to play it, I probably would say 17-plus because you're on the road. You need to be aggressive.
Yeah, absolutely so. And we'll see how aggressive they are going to be. Baker Mayfield hasn't practiced a ton this week. And again, it's a short week, but he's expected to give it a go. I actually don't think there's that large of a drop-off, Joe, if for some reason Baker can't play tonight in Buffalo and they go to Kyle Trask in his third year, the second-round draft pick back in 2021. There are some injury concerns with Chris Godwin as well. Some of those playmakers offensively for Tampa and on the defensive side of the football. I also, Joe, look from a player prop perspective at Stephon Diggs, over 86.5 receiving yards. Diggs has by far, Joe, been Josh Allen's favorite target this year. Double-digit targets in 5 of the 7 games Buffalo has played this year. Only last week, Joe, when he was targeted 12 times, only came up with 6 grabs for 58 yards. It was the only time in the 5 games that Stephon Diggs has had double-digit targets. He has not broken 100 or more yards. I think he has a big night tonight against this Tampa Bay secondary. I like Diggs over 86.5.
Yeah, I mean, Diggs is obviously the primary weapon. I took Gabe Davis, too, and I know he was non-existent last week with 6 yards against New England, but I did alt him today to 50-plus. So his number is 42.5 heading into this matchup. It's even each way at minus 110. I took it at 50-plus. I think it was plus 128, Ben, so that's what I'm looking for. And don't be shocked if Kincaid gets involved. Typically, when Buffalo's successful, Dawson Knox and Kincaid are catching passes, right? So Kincaid's number tonight, 40.5, it's something to keep an eye out on.
Yeah, absolutely so. And that's been on the rise, Joe, for the rookie tight end out of Utah. We're not expected to see Dawson Knox in this football game. Joe, let's talk big picture now, right? Because Buffalo at times this year in their 3-game win streak weeks 2 through 4 has looked like the team we all expect to contend for a Lombardi Trophy. In those 3 games, they won by at least 4 touchdowns. They scored 38, 37, and then 48 points in that 3-game span. Josh Allen played played clean football in their three losses this year, but a different story for the Bills. They have turned the football over nine times. Josh Allen, in this dismal three-game span over their last three, has thrown a pick in each. Even the win, Joe, against the New York Giants is a win, and wins are hard to come by. Doesn't matter how much you're favored by in the National Football League, but when you're favored by 15 and a half against a Giants team that was so banged up and so injured virtually everywhere on the football field at home on Sunday night to win by five, it's not exactly a testament to you being a true conference and Super Bowl contender. So how do you evaluate this team, Joe? What's the outlook for Buffalo the rest of the way?
Well, again, I think they're definitely a playoff contender, but I would put, you know, other teams ahead of them right now. I would put Jacksonville ahead of Buffalo. There's no consistency from week to week. I haven't seen Josh Allen run the football the way he did when, you know, Brian Daboll was the offensive coordinator. Until I see that, Ben, I can't buy into them. Big picture, they completely lost their offensive identity.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they need to find something. James Cook has started to come on a little bit on the ground. But again, Buffalo has lost two of their last three games. We will see how it all plays out tonight on a Thursday in Buffalo, New York, as week number eight kicks off. A few more minutes here on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle for just a few more minutes. Joe, quickly here before we go, as this news came down yesterday after we signed off the airwaves on Football Full Circle, Brock Purdy now in concussion protocol for San Francisco. He is not going to be out there on Sunday against Cincinnati. The Niners, who have lost two straight, Joe, now turn to Sam Darnold. San Francisco, a 3.5-point favorite, as the Bengals have won two straight. They entered their bye week. Now they're feeling a little bit more fresh coming to a huge game in Santa Clara on Sunday afternoon. Joe, can Sam Darnold stop the two-game skid for San Fran?
No, I'm going with Joey Silk, Jamar Chase, and the crew. They have their identity back. They're coming off a bye week. They know that they're going to run it with CMC. They're not going to allow Sam Darnold to attack them over the top. And even if they do, I still believe the secondary of Cincinnati holds an advantage. I think the defense has come together in back-to-back wins. Give me Cincinnati outright.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting now, Joe, right? 5.5 was the spread just about 24 hours ago, which seemed to be a little bit lofty, even with Brock Purdy in there. It comes down by 2 points now, 3.5 in favor of the 49ers. The total also comes down from 45 and a hook to 43.5. Joe, let me ask you this quickly. If Cincinnati even covers as a 3.5-point underdog, will you feel good about where the Bengals are at this juncture of the season being 3-4?
No, I want to see them dominate now. Now, they're not a 500 team. You know, and the fact that Buffalo is sort of reeling right now, Cleveland has quarterback issues, Baltimore dealing, you know, just in the conference, they have an opportunity to step up. And again, they can challenge Baltimore, but they have to put wins back to back to back now. They can't go win 1 week and then lose the next. Need to step up.
Yeah. And that's what we need out of Cincinnati. If they're going to be a true conference contender in the AFC, playing for a Lombardi Trophy for the second time in 3 years, it's not just beating the teams you're expected to beat, it's beating the best in the NFL. And San Francisco, even with Sam Darnold, still potentially that. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. We'll see you tomorrow on Football Full Circle, starting at noon Eastern time.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.